Let's just stand up just for a moment. We're receiving this morning the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that the eyes of our understanding would be opened, that we might know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, far above all principalities and powers and might, and name that is named not only in this age, but in that which is to come. Holy Spirit, you've already prevailed over our enemy. You've already redeemed us. You've already provided the riches of his glory. We just thank you for now opening the eyes of our understanding and helping us understand that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're no longer waiting for God to do anything. We're receiving what he's already done, and that's where our eyes have to be open to the reality of redemption. So I'm going to try a little bit and talk about the reality of redemption, but as I was setting back there, I just want to try and help you understand, because personally, I need to understand the truth of the simplicity of Christ. Say the simplicity of Christ. Okay. And he was speaking to me about, I think we have a scripture here. I'm probably going to talk about the reality of redemption, but I want to, Romans 5:17, and what God had spoken to me about very clearly is he said to me, I want you to understand the reality of what my abundance means. I want you to establish your mind and your heart in the reality of my abundance, that I am abundant. Now, and so he wants us to get grounded in an abundant mindset, because the enemy rules the world with a fear lack mindset. Okay, and I'm not just talking about money. I mean, Jesus became poor that we might be made rich. Okay. Now, the reality of it is that you and I are already rich. The problem is that could be that we just don't know it. We don't have the reality of what redemption has done for us. Let's kind of get our mindset right. We've received riches in every possible dimension, whether it's eternal or temporal. And he's become our riches. And so, we have to fight the fear of lack in this world. When I say world, I mean world, not God's kingdom. Because in his kingdom, there is no lack. In his kingdom, the world is trying to rob us of our temporal riches, is all the world knows, all they can talk about, all they can have fear about. And the world system is always trying to steal from us. But you cannot hinder God's truth. Okay, so I just want to use a scripture to give you a little bit of an illustration of what I want to see. I'm thinking in terms of, number one, Christ made things simple. Say simple. And it's not because you're simple. It's just, you know, the enemy wants to confuse and complicate. Now, just for an example of simplicity, in everything, give thanks. Now, I say not for everything, but in everything. And we give thanks that whatever we face in life, we give thanks that he's already overcome and won the victory. Okay, regardless of what it is. Now, that's simplicity. That's simplicity. That's understanding that whatever I face, that Christ is already overcome. Whatever I've inherited, that it's already mine. So there's two sides to thanksgiving. One of them is the power to overcome through thanksgiving, and the other is the power to receive what Christ has already done. There's just a tremendous misunderstanding in those areas where people are begging him to do things that he's already done. People are afraid to face life and the powers of darkness in life because they don't know that they've been overcome. A problem comes up that looks impossible to us, but Jesus, we give thanks because he's already given us the victory. The other part of that is that you are in a place in Christ where you are to continually praise him. That's just simple. Just praise him. Praise him for what he's done. Praise him in everything. And I'm just trying to show you that you don't have to be a Bible scholar to open your mouth and praise him. It's just that simple. He made it simple so that we don't get confused. Okay, so now I see, you know, the Lord was dealing with me here a little bit about Romans 5:17. And for by one man's offense, death reigned. And we know after when Adam fell, death took over the human race. And man was unable in himself, as much as he would try different things. And they're still doing it today, you know, through self-righteousness. But death reigned by one. And there was nothing that a human being could do about death reigning over them. Okay. Spiritual death, physical death, eternal death, it reigned. Man was hopelessly lost under the spirit of death through Adam's sin. And much more they which receive. Now, let's look at this much more. Now, we know that redemption, of course, is much more, far beyond what Satan did to the human race. Okay. Really, the much more is that there can be no comparison. You know, we have to stop giving Satan credit for what he's done and what he's doing right now. He's attacking your mind. He's attacking your life. And sometimes we just don't know how to acknowledge his downfall and defeat permanently and once and for all. That doesn't mean he won't try and deceive us or attack us. Death reigned, they which, now who are they? Say they. You see, because it comes down to a personal thing. They, say they. I'm one of the theys. Nobody else is going to take that place but me. I have to be one of the the theys. And I like the idea of they because it's universal. As far as anywhere you could be at on earth, any situation you could be in, you can receive they. But see, you have to know, you have to have faith that you are receiving. You see what I'm saying? You have to, doesn't the scripture say that whosoever, are you a whosoever? And see, what people do is they say, well, if I just was a different person, if I was just in a different place, if I was just under different circumstances, this would not be happening to me. You know, if I were somebody that was rich, you know, there's a lot of people that, like James says, they're going to die in their sins because they've stolen money from people, innocent people, and they hoard it. I'm just saying that, you know, making you necessarily financially rich doesn't make you successful at all. But whosoever, okay, you know, and God's a great compensator. It doesn't matter what the situation is. It doesn't matter where you live. Somebody, you know, a lot of people live their whole life saying, well, if I lived somewhere else, if I were someone else, if I had more of what the world has, I would be successful, I would be happy. And that's not what the Bible teaches at all. The Bible teaches that whosoever, you're a whosoever. Okay. So grace is something that, the abundance of grace is something that overcomes completely your natural circumstances. You know, I think that a lot of times people they have a lot of self-rejection because they can't accept themselves. They can't accept where they are. They can't accept who they are. They can't accept the circumstances that they're facing right now. And you know what? Grace compensates for all of that. You don't have to be a defeated person because of what your name is or your material status or the circumstance that you were under. Great. They that receive. Now, let's look at that. Just for, are you a they? Are you a they? Now, I'm talking about they that, or which receive. Let's look at the scripture in the King James Version. I think a lot of times we don't know how to receive from God. I'm not saying that in a negative light. But when we do the study on redemption, one of the biggest deterrents to the reality of redemption is that we're trying to receive. Now, hear me out, okay? We're trying to receive what God has already done. Well, he can't answer that. He can't undo what he's already done. We just don't have the reality of redemption and what really happened when we were redeemed by the blood of Christ. And so we're trying to receive things that we don't understand. Christ already provided those. They're already done. They're already a reality. They're already a fact an eternal fact. They're already a legal fact. Are you listening? And, you know, people spend their whole life struggling to try and make God do something that he's already done. And then they wonder why God won't do it. Well, he can't do what he's already done. You've got to receive what he's already done. It's already finished. Now, this teaching on redemption, I broke it down. I like to break stuff down. I mean, really break it down. And so I went, so far I've gotten to, on this one, I've gotten to about 30 points. I could teach 30 days or 30 years or 30 months just on this, the reality of redemption. You're not going to get it just hearing a message and then walking away and forgetting what you heard. You've really got to renew your mind on this stuff. You got to make up your mind. This is more important than the world. And all they're going to do is produce fear and uncertainty anyway. So anyway, I you know, the Lord was dealing with me about this scripture. They that receive. Now, I'm just asking you a question. Do you really know how to receive what God's done? I'm just trying to make you think a little bit, okay? Because you're either waiting for God to do something, or you don't know he's already done it. You see what I'm saying? And so you're confused about the reality of redemption. You're confused about receiving what he's already done. That's what that little booklet I made available to people. I read it every day. I haven't just read it. I read it every day. I read segments of it every day to renew my mind, to build my faith. Okay. But they that receive, do you know how to properly receive? You don't receive by hoping God will do something that he's already done. This is what I'm trying to help you understand. That's not receiving. That's unbelief. They that receive. Say, that's me. It's got to be you. Nobody's going to do it for you. I mean, you can admire someone else's faith, and I'm blessed with that. I'm blessed with Tom's testimony about what he went through, something horrific, and just like we sometimes go through things horrific. But you know what? He had his faith in the right place, and he's on the move. Because I know that if, you know, don't let me be critical, but I'm being critical. People want to just quit and hide in their bedroom somewhere. You know, and you got to get up and move. Faith, what moves? It moves. Faith is an action word. It moves. Well, I don't feel like moving. Well, there you go. You're letting your feelings overrule your faith. You know, there's times that I don't feel like getting out of bed in the morning due to circumstances. And you can allow life to defeat you, or you can prepare to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We're always facing that valley. And get up and walk. God honors those that walk. It was the man that was by the pool. And what did Jesus tell him when he was laying down there? He said, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Okay, now we use the word walk to walk in faith. And it's remarkable what God will do to a person that will rise and walk in faith, okay? Do something, move. Okay, Romans 5:17, say Romans 5:17. They which receive, what? Abundance of grace. And you know what the Lord told me? He says, I want you to renew your mind and establish in your heart the reality of my abundance. Simple. Think about the way that God did everything in life. It's abundant. I kind of, often thought about that, when I was driving through the forest, the forest where we camp, and there is so much downed wood there that it could never be exhausted. That's my interpretation of abundance. No matter how much I would drive through the woods, there was no way we could exhaust it. And nobody cuts wood anymore anyway, but I see all that wood. Well, I grew up that way in a lumber mill, and I just see all this wood. I have an abundant mentality. It's like this is never going to run out in my lifetime. No matter how much I could use, there it could never run out. There's just more. There's more, and that's my interpretation. I know it's a temporal interpretation, but it's an interpretation of an eternal reality, not just eternal riches, but riches in this life. An abundant mindset, a heart established and overflowing in abundance. Say it with me. My heart is established and overflowing in abundance. Now, it may not be there right now, but it can be very fast. And this is what I'm talking about the simplicity of Christ. Christ Jesus did an abundant work of redemption. And a lot of times we're completely blind to it because sometimes all we see is a lack. That's what the enemy wants, to trap you in a mindset that there's not enough. That's how the world operates. But we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We have to be a part of things in the world. Don't misunderstand me. But then we look at our relationship with God, and he tells us, as far as material things go, don't take thought about, what you're going to eat tomorrow or what you're going to wear or, how you're going to get what you need. But the Bible gives us the best advice that we can have, that if we will first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, guess what? As far as our material, and they're talking about material, all these other things will what? Be added. There's no reason to worry. Unless we're not seeking God. Now, I wake up in the morning and the first thing I try and do is be still. He said, be still and know that I am God. You know, when you know something, that's faith. You know it because you know it because you know it because you know it because you know it. And I really believe that the Holy Spirit is trying to help us know the reality of not only who God is, but our redemption, who the reality of His promises. And so we've got to live in a world that is it's all geared towards stealing from you. Governments are geared for stealing from you for themselves. And you're just a pauper, dependent on them, and you're gonna have to be completely subject to their control. But we live in a kingdom that's beyond their control. They cannot stop God's provision unless we let them, unless we believe that. Okay. That's why it says, they that receive the abundance. Now, whose abundance are you receiving? Are you receiving God's abundance that's eternal and can never be taken from you unless you allow it to take, unless you have a poverty mentality? Okay, and we fight with that because we're put in a class system where you're nobody and all the rich people have all the money. We're in God's kingdom. And the other scripture that's really wonderful is that it just tells us to give and it shall be given to you. Now, this is God speaking. Here is an eternal principle. This is eternal reality. Give and it shall be given unto you. Well, who's going to give it to us? It's not going to be the world. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. You know, it shows how great God is. He can use men in spite of what they do. For with what measure you measure, it shall be measured to you again. Okay. You were put in this earth to be a giver. You know, and that's never going to, what you give will never exhaust what you have. I said, what you give will never exhaust what you have. Because it's going to be given back to you in a greater measure. And we struggle with giving. We struggle with those things. Because we're afraid of lack. I said, we're afraid of lack. That's the world. That's Satan's system to create fear that we're never going to have enough. We're never going to have enough. We're never going to have what we need. But my Bible says if you really set yourself to seek Him first, what happens? All these things, all the things you're going to need in this temporal world are going to be added. Are you listening to me? We just have to lose our fear of letting go, and I'm just as guilty as anybody else. We have to lose our fear of letting go so that God had something to work with. Okay, that's a total biblical principle that is really, it's eternal, even though it works within the temporal world. I'm in a temporal world, we're in a temporal world, but we're operating in eternal, unchanging laws and principles that this devil, that they have defeated the devil. He cannot stop it unless we allow him to stop it. And then they can give the illusion that we're going under, we don't have enough, we'll never have enough, we're poor, because that's what the world tells you. You're in a class system where God's in a whosoever system. God's in a system that has no respecter of persons. And we have to stop being intimidated, okay, by the world standard that you're in nothing and I've got all the money. People have money, and what are they going to do with it? I know what some of them did with it. They destroyed people's relationship with God and stole, and they're going to have to stand before God. You can only spend so much at a time, and we're given things to fulfill God's destiny, fulfill his purpose, okay? So, you know, you've heard the statement, you can't outgive God. That is for sure. But yet we're afraid. We let fear rule. And we don't exercise our faith as a result of that. Are you listening? Are you a they? You're going to get in on this, you got to be a they. And then that they needs to have a name. And then that they needs to realize this reality that God is no respecter of person. It may look like it. The circumstance may look like it. But God is no respecter of persons. He honors his word, he honors faith under any condition, under any circumstance, at any place, at any name, at any person. I'm just glad the fact that God doesn't respect, put us in a class system where we're taught that, we're just taught that from the world all of our life. That's what our mindset, okay. Say abundant mindset. We need to pray together to receive from God the reality of what he did on the cross, and he became poor that we might become rich. We need to receive an abundant mindset. Say it with me. We need to receive an abundant mindset. Say it again. We need to receive an abundant mindset. There's abundance of grace there just waiting for us. His abundance can never run out, can never be exhausted. Much more, say much more. And yet sometimes we're under the control of a mindset that satanic in nature. Much more they that receive. So we need to learn how to receive. And you know, a lot of the church has not learned how to receive. They've learned how to struggle to earn what Jesus has already done. That's the reality of redemption. We don't have to earn it. It's already ours. We just don't know it. And then we have to think, well, I'll do better. God can't honor any of that behavior. God can't honor that because it's not the truth. Okay, you receive because you couldn't redeem yourself. You could not fulfill God's will by yourself. You had to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus. You know, and that's why so many people will end up in hell because of self-righteousness. They think they're going to earn their salvation. They bypass the cross. They think that they're a good enough person. And self-righteousness, well, when I'm a good person, I've done good in life, well, pardon me, throw the cross out. All have sinned and come short of the glory that brings true salvation, true redemption. Well, I better quit here pretty quick, but I get going here. I didn't know I was going to talk on Romans 5:17. The Lord spoke to me earlier, and I tried to scribble some things down. I still haven't got to the main topic of redemption, but I'm talking about redemption right now. I've been renewing my mind on this teaching. I read it every morning, sometimes every night. I don't go through the whole, all the pages, but I am renewing my mind. What does it say about renewing your mind? Being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I'm being transformed and you're being transformed. We need to use the word abundance. We need to take that Bible word and we need to renew our mind with it and program it into our heart. We need to put that deeply within our heart that I serve an abundant God and I live in the realm of His abundance. Hello, somebody. See how simple it is? It isn't a complicated thing. It's just having the Holy Spirit now give us the reality of what Jesus already did. We need to thank Him for that, don't we? They that receive, now we still have our scripture, and I just want to read a couple more things on it, okay, and we'll close. They that receive, they which receive, say they which receive. Are you one of the they? Abundance. Say abundance. Say abundance again. Abundance again, because God has blessed us with abundance. I said He has blessed us with abundance. Abundance of grace, the power and desire to do His will or to overcome or to grace. I don't, you know, get into a teaching on grace, but that answers all problems. It's God's grace, and it can't be taken from you. You can't be robbed of it unless you allow the enemy to rob you. And I knew that when I started this verse, there's going to be way more in it than I could teach today. But and the gift, say gift. This is one of the greatest realities of redemption, is learning to receive the gift, what God has already given. Come on, let's get a hold of it. Let's be happy that we don't have to earn it. And religion does the opposite. It teaches us how to struggle and constantly fall short. Well, Jesus didn't fall short. Okay, it's a gift. Say gift. It's hard for us to conceive. It's hard for us to believe that He gave us a gift. It's hard for us to accept it. But it's a gift of righteousness. You couldn't earn it. That's why He had to give it to us. That's why He had to give us salvation. That's why He had to give us redemption. We could not possibly earn it, but we can celebrate the fact that Jesus already purchased it for us on the cross, and we can receive it. And then it says, shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. There have been so many times I didn't feel at all like I was reigning. I felt totally discouraged, totally defeated. And either you're going to live above your emotions or you're going to be defeated by them. They're nasty if they're not directed properly. Now we gave a, I'm going to close here, but did we hand a book out? Let me see that book. So I'm just in the process right now. Okay, this is redemption. Okay, here's your book. Take that book. Please take that book and don't do that with it. Don't throw it. Read it every day. Learn how to renew your mind on something that will produce faith. The world isn't going to give you faith. All they're going to give you is fear. At best, questionable promises, you know. And I'm not saying there isn't a place to operate in the world. I don't mean that. But it's redemption. Here's the book. This thing is worth its weight in gold. Yeah, more than that. I'm talking about heavenly gold. And then we've got another one that'll be coming out. That I think the title of that one is your How Satan Uses Your Words Against You. When you wake up in the morning, you do not realize how you're inviting the enemy to come in with your thoughts and words that you're expressing. And we're going to get into that too, and we're going to learn to keep our mouth shut. That was one of the first things, and it's taken me a year or more and more and more to realize that I am defeating myself by what I'm saying. Okay, we gotta quit. I could preach the everlasting gospel, but we're going somewhere with these teachings, all right? We really are. Say abundance again. Say God's abundance. I'm not talking about temper. I'm talking about God's abundance. You are full of God's abundance. Stand up, please. Thank you, Lord. You're moving in an unstoppable way. By the power of your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit, we just thank you for victory today. Thank you for Tom's recovery, that he's really has a wonderful testimony. And we just thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient for us. Your strength is made perfect in our weakness. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone said amen.